Welcome to the Ether. Today is Friday, January 7th, 2022. This episode of the Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Today on the Ether, we have an AMA with Luart and Friends, hosted by Star Terra. Let's take a listen.
Great company that we're here with. Big fan of the Hellcats and have been working with them for a while. Also a big fan of Star Terra and the IDOs, as well as Luart. So pleasure to be here.
Awesome, awesome. And then last but not least, Jack.
Good evening, all. I'm Jack from the Galactic Punks team. It's a pleasure to be here and just great to be able to support the Luart team in their launch that's coming up very shortly.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. So, I mean, as everyone knows, Luart is going to be launching shortly. Jack just mentioned that. What do you guys feel, and this goes to any one of you out there, what do you guys feel is one of the most important advancements in NFT coming up on the Terra blockchain? Don't all rush at once.
I want to be a humble, you know, servant of Luart, but I definitely think that the idea of what we're bringing to the marketplace is going to help expand the ecosystem of gamification, but also how we're taking on the idea of partnerships with NFT projects themselves. You know, we take a big emphasis in not just being a medium for these NFT projects, but partnering with them as well, you know, helping them with marketing, helping them with tokenomics and whatnot to further advance the success, the chances of success during their mints, secondary sales, but also helping them build out their communities, which benefits Terra in itself. Because we are big believers that a lot of these NFT projects, you know, they don't necessarily have to exist on any given network. You know, maybe that they, snag some people that were lunatics before, but a lot of these NFT projects, a lot of their communities live within their own ecosystems. You know, they're there for a reason. I mean, you had Hellcats playing poker with their community members every night. You know, those people are going to follow Hellcats wherever they go. So we really do believe that the way that we're taking on this aspect of partnering with NFT projects and adding, you know, our platform as a tool for these NFT projects to continue to grow and maintain this steady relationship with the buying and selling NFTs through gamification will continue to allow them to have steady traction, but also the greater scheme of things just to continue to build out the NFT Terra ecosystem. And that's what I would say.
Okay. And just to touch on that, what do you feel is the biggest advantage of having projects launch on your launch pad?
Well, through our gamification model, you know, we have this unique incentivization method of rewarding users for literally just being users. Like I was saying before, these people are in the communities. They're more likely than not already going to purchase these NFTs. So why not reward them for doing so? What that allows them to do is to continue to be active in the trading of NFTs after they mint. So not only are the NFT projects themselves getting the benefit of working with us to help them develop, you know, the things of tokenomics, community, and marketing, as we said before, but also our incentivization model allows the projects to continue to live throughout a cycle of trading and not just, you know, buying, maybe dumping, and then that's it. You know, we want to create this ecosystem where they're going to be continuously used over time.
Okay, and you've already launched projects such as Hellcats. You have Silent Solos coming up. What has your experience been so far from the Silent Solos end, at least? Not from the Luard end, but from the Silent Solos end, or the Hellcats end, or the Dystope AI end.
Well, you know, Hellcats, obviously, it was our first launch. I think that it took a lot of notice to a lot of people in the Terra ecosystem that NFTs aren't dead. We saw with a, you know, community that was very close-knit, and it's not the largest community out there, but they were able to sell out their entire collection. And we've seen, you know, that the floor price and volume has still somewhat maintained. So what that tells us is that there is some connectivity and success between partnering with these NFT projects in terms of helping them build out their community and marketing aspects. But also, to add this gamification piece, you know, everything isn't finished yet. Like, we're in the early stages of our launch pad and marketplace, but this is, we're getting closer to these goals on the roadmap of launching. So, you know, we've been talking to Silent Solos a little bit longer than Dystopia AI, but we are working on the same things that we've worked on with Hellcats. So what you can expect is hopefully the same results. But, you know, this is a mold, you know, we went into this kind of without any previous history of anyone doing what we were doing. But what we did is we listened to the projects and we listened to the community itself. And I think that's what's has set us apart, is that we've built our protocol and our ideas and our advice for these projects by listening to them and listening to the community. And that's allowed us to have this feedback loop to where we're open to making changes, you know, whether it's from fees, whether it's from the supply directly on the projects themselves, whether it's doing added marketing for these projects that decide to do partner on marketing with us. So that's really allowed us to create this relationship that we're going to transfer to each of these upcoming launches, because we're learning from experience. And we're, you know, like I said, we're creating this feedback loop to where once we find the process that's going to really stick, you know, we can make some shifts, change things depending on which project we're working with. But from what we've seen, it was successful and it was our first go at it. So we're really excited to partner with these, you know, upcoming launches to see where we can take them.
Awesome, awesome. So Uncle Davo from Dystope AI, what's been your experience from your end? How did you guys come to work with Luart?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were approached by Luart and by Aston at Luart, who wanted to discuss our project, learn a bit more about what we were doing, and then how we could work together. And I think from our perspective, it was really compelling because we've always seen NFTs is a great onboarding into the world of Web3 and into DeFi, you know, particularly. And I think what Luart is doing is solving a few different problems through gamification and through the network effects that they bring. So I think, you know, bringing more utility to NFTs is something that's consistently being asked for by community. I think especially on Terra, it's a pretty nuanced crowd and feedback loops are pretty tight, so you have to really iterate based on feedback a lot. I think interacting with NFTs on live marketplaces is another issue. It's not just buying and selling. I think, you know, meaningfully interacting with NFTs is something that gamification solves. So we're really keen to work with Luart on that in particular. But also just, you know, the rest of their roadmap. I think incentivizing people to trade, to stake NFTs, to, you know, play with NFTs on their platform, but then also, you know, taking what is almost standard practice across corporates with reward systems and incentives and bringing it to NFTs is really quite powerful. So I think that, as well as the network effect, so, you know, scoring systems, games on Luart and so on, really enable a degree of collaboration and another layer on top of different NFT projects. which enabled, you know, more communities to come together and more people to learn about, I guess, really the richness of NFTs on Terra.
Yeah, I definitely could see with how everything is evolving in Terra, the richness that you mentioned, how in this new ecosystem, I wouldn't say fairly new, but as it's developing and expanding, there's going to be a lot of room to grow. And having a marketplace such as Luau, which allows you the gamification aspect where you know, you use Lua power, there's leaderboards. I think that's really exciting. And it makes it so that people who are fans of NFTs aren't just going out there and mindlessly trying to find what the next project is, but they're being guided through that process. So let's take it from a silent solos. Solo Jay, what has it been like for you in terms of working alongside of Luart?
Well, I first contacted Aston. He gave me a good reality check in the beginning as far as NFTs go. And I became more realistic, and we cut supply, and we cut the mint price as well because, you know, due to the environment, we wanted to, you know, have it be available for everybody. But Aston's been great to work with. And, you know, when he gave me the opportunity to possibly launch with him, you know, I didn't even think twice, especially with the utility that they're bringing with Luart itself. It was a for sure thing to do.
Yeah, and with having that kind of that guidance, you know, having the team where, you know, you're looking back and they have the experience, they know what has worked in the past. Is that been something that you would say has been crucial to your development, or it's just been the added bonus?
I think it's been crucial, to be honest with you. Because I mean, this is my first NFT project, to be honest with you. So I'm learning as I go. You know, and I'll always be learning with the project. I'll be learning, I'll be listening, we'll be growing, you know. So it's been very crucial, to be honest. I do thank Aston and Luart tremendously.
Yeah, and for instance, I have a friend who wants to launch his own NFT project, and he has a great idea, but he had nowhere to start. And actually, that YouTube live we did recently, where they just kind of discussed about the community building aspect of it, the making and giving you not only a unique NFT, but also the aspect of giving it utility. This question is going to go out to Hellcats, who have already launched. How do you guys feel with what's been done so far? Is there more room to grow alongside of Luart, or is it something that, you know, they've helped you, and now you're kind of have to do things on your own?
Yeah, so just a quick wrap up from the pre-min stuff. Luart were instrumental in our marketing, our business development, and strategic advisory. And the team were absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, massive thanks to the Luart team as well as the Hellcats team. We worked quite tirelessly for many, many months. Since the mint has occurred, we definitely still have a connection with Luart, speaking to them pretty much daily. I made a joke on the last AMA that I've spoken to Aston more than I've spoken to my girlfriend in the last month. So,
and I'm sure she's happy about that.
I'm not too sure if that's stopped since. So, we definitely appreciate that Luart have got, you know, many other projects wanting to launch, and that's commendable to their efforts because it shows that what they're providing in terms of services is definitely needed in the space. So, you know, we obviously want to really encourage Luart in onboarding these new projects, and we will in turn do our bit to support these projects in collaborations, you know, with marketing and cross collabs that you might see in the not too distant future as well. But we're under no illusions. Like we've just you know, I know I said we've been working on it for months, but I sort of view it as we've just really gotten started. We have quite a few things in the pipeline that we're working on in the background that will
come to fruition over the next, you know, weeks and months. So whilst we know we always have Luart there for support, we're well understanding that it's our turn to really get the car started, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah. In terms of, you know, having already launched, having a successful launch, we also have Jack here, who's part of the Galactic Punks team. Seeing that Galactic Punks has been a major success on the Terra ecosystem and pretty much sort of the benchmark for what projects are aiming for, where do you feel that Luart has done differently? I mean, gamification aside, what do you think with Luart, what are they trying to attain that is going to be different from all these other NFT marketplaces, whether it's on the Terra ecosystem or elsewhere?
Well, obviously, the gamification is a massive step forwards in terms of NFTs. As of yet, Terra doesn't have any play-to-earn NFT games or anything like that. So I feel like this marketplace is a step in the right direction to being able to add an extra level of utility to NFTs, as well as just making it more interactive for users and more fun for users to be able to trade NFTs. So you're actually getting rewarded instead of just deducted by making sales and buying NFTs, which is obviously something Random Earth doesn't do at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and not only that, but the idea of just decentralizing these marketplaces further is just huge for NFTs. Bearing in mind, Random Earth has had 2 months of, well, very little competitivity from other platforms. It's about time that we saw someone step up and be able to take some of that volume back and be able to decentralize it across the network.
Yeah, but when it comes to competition, it's always healthy, right? Without competition, you're not going to be able to push yourself to that limit. There's only so much someone can do. In terms of the NFT marketplace as a whole, I mean, we look at the market, it dipped a little bit earlier today. There might be some panic, some people questioning, is this the top, or not the top, but is this the time for shift? What do you guys think, and this is a question up for everyone, what do you guys think is the state of the NFT marketplace as it stands today?
I could definitely kick things off on this. You know, thinking to the whole entire NFT ecosystem, there's this odd relationship with the price of Ethereum and NFTs, you know, on OpenSea and whatnot, that NFTs tend to do very well when Ethereum is not doing anything or the price is going down. And we've seen a lot of projects in the last few weeks do extremely well in terms of building communities very fast and having, you know, sold out mints and having high volumes post-mint. So we can see that there's starting to be this segregation of the markets of NFTs and crypto, which I think is beneficial to all of us, because as we continue to add utility to already, you know, we can bring this NFT aspect to already well-established business models. It just allows it to live on the blockchain and gives you an extra benefit of, are we going to put this thing in the metaverse, in a game, et cetera, et cetera. But this segregation of the markets is going to be very healthy, I think, in the long term for NFTs in general, and gives everyone a real opportunity of where we're at right now to take advantage of not all of the older NFT projects having this added utility. Obviously, Luart will be a benefactor to that. But you'll see, like, NFT ecosystems like Solana, they really took off because their selling point was that we're cheaper and we're faster than Ethereum is. Well, you know, you don't ever want to just compete on price. You're commoditizing yourself. So you saw a lot of copycat projects on Solana. You know, maybe they pumped for a little bit, but they didn't really have much staying power. And you have a lot of projects in Terra who've had this staying power in terms of keeping around the communities that we already have. But we have a real opportunity because we're immature relative to the Solana NFT ecosystem and the Ethereum NFT ecosystem, in that we can see the things that they've done wrong and we can improve on those. You know, the Terra ecosystem is young in itself already, and the NFT ecosystem on Terra is even younger. But as this continues to build out, we can establish ourselves as, you know, the proprietors of utility in the NFT ecosystem as we create these new partnerships with game studios, with some of the OG NFT projects that continue to build out their communities and give back value. So I think it's a real opportunity that we have at hand here when just looking at the NFT market in general and then breaking it down even further to the Terra NFT ecosystem. So that's what I would say.
And those of you guys who have launched on the Terra ecosystem already, such as Hellcats, such as Galactic Punts, where do you feel the market is headed with NFTs?
Well, it's always a difficult one for such a young and early ecosystem. You know, it's currently it's not a big space, and for NFTs to really take off, we're going to have to start bringing and onboarding more users from other networks. But I think where Terra really comes into play is the fact that it is primarily a financial ecosystem, so we should be capitalizing on that function. For example, using Mirror, we would be able to introduce NFTs, for example. These are all options down the line which we should be looking into.
All right. Hellcats?
Yeah, I think Jack's hit a nail on the head in terms of the size and where we're at. And the beauty about one of the things that's come out from our mint is we've seen probably, I don't know, let's say 10 in the last like 3 or 4 days, people joining our Discord coming straight from Solana and using Wormhole to exchange their soul for Luna. So I definitely think that there's scope there to be, you know, keep dragging people in from especially Ethereum and Solana. They're as we've just mentioned, they're, you know, much bigger trading volumes and people there. So I think as the exposure continues, those people keep coming in, and it's a big force for us.
Yeah, well, definitely. I would also say, like, touching back on Jordan's earlier point where, you know, a lot of these other ecosystems, a lot of the other blockchains, they're basically claim to fame is they're cheaper than ETH, right? They, if ETH somehow manages to get, like, to figure out this gas issue and give people maybe a layer two or something on top of that that will allow people to make purchases easily, all of these chains, they won't no longer exist without having some sort of dual functionality. Whereas Terra ecosystem, where we're based around the decentralized stablecoin, it allows room to grow and constantly have a competitive edge over something like Ethereum. So NFTs, whether it's using for essentially those MNFTs on Mirror or anything else of that nature, is going to have and find its place. So my question now is to the projects that haven't yet launched, whether it's the Silent Solos or Dystope AI, when you look at the market, is there something that tells you, okay, you know what, maybe this isn't the right time, or you know what, you guys just want to go ahead and follow and trust that the demand will be out there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, it's real that there's a lot of saturation in the NFT marketplace in general. So I think gone are the days where you could just have a collection of 10,000 profile picture NFTs on the roadmap. Maybe there's, you know, some reference to some pet airdrop that you give. I think that creativity really matters a lot more, and people are looking for distinct utility and also the marrying of, you know, financial incentives with the NFT as well, and trust in the team and the project. I think for us, we've really been buoyed by the appreciation of the collaborations we're doing and how the community is reacting to that. I think we've been testing the market and been testing how things will work with community a lot, so much so that we've pivoted from our roadmap. So initially when we started, you know, we had a function around daily storytelling and people being able to change the story of the universe we've created. But then after doing collaborations with, you know, Astroverse and Luna Bulls around morphing their PFPs with AI, we realized that that was what community was after engaging our community in the Discord, that people wanted to be able to change their NFTs, explore their NFTs from a different light, and really tell the story of their NFTs differently using AI. And so For those of you that don't know, what we do is take images and then are able to use text input and AI to change the image into whatever the text says. So if it's a galactic punk, and we say like a city made out of trees and candy cane, the AI would make a city based on that and the actual galactic punk avatar as well. So really giving people a chance to be creative and doing things outside of, you know, just, you know, minting an NFT or, you know, grinding for whitelist has allowed us, you know, to gain feedback on what people value, you know, what they don't value, so that, you know, as we approach mint and we're minting on Luard in 2 weeks, we have a good idea of what people are after and some confidence around what people are wanting.
Yeah, with your mint in 2 weeks, I mean, leading up to that, how are the emotions right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, man. Like, it's such a fast moving space. So 2 weeks is both a lot of time, but then also not much time at all. So we're just doing what we can, you know, with our Discord. We're ramping up the events, we're ramping up the competitions, and are about to announce some more collaborations with a few big Terra projects as well. So just, you know, putting our ducks in order and making sure that in the next 2 weeks, we're really highlighting what we can do and, you know, what we'll be doing after we mint as well.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you mentioned also earlier, like the collaborations, which I think is probably one of the most unique aspects of the Terra ecosystem, where projects and protocols are working together relatively closely, I think beyond just the standard strategic partnership, and being able to see that and how you guys come together and potentially even change your roadmaps along the way, it's actually pretty cool. And speaking of roadmaps, Silent Solos, what's your project looking like right now? Where are you on your roadmap, and what's it going to lead to in terms of the emotions later on?
So obviously we're waiting for, you know, our launch, you know, but, you know, we're going to be a little different as far as NFTs go. So with us, you'll be able to burn NFTs to receive physical items. So let's say you want a hoodie or you want custom shoes by me. All you have to do is burn a certain amount of NFTs and you can get that. And not only that, you can also win two gold 18 karat Luna chains if you mint a solo.
What?
With that chain. Yeah, with that chain, yes.
How heavy is that chain? It sounds heavy.
It's around 60 to 80 grams.
Ooh.
So that's all I'll say, you know. So to be honest, it starts, our community starts as soon as launch, because that's when I start pushing Silent Solos even more. You know, my goal is to attract people that are not into crypto to come into crypto with Silent Solos. You know, I'm trying to bring a lot of people into the Luna blockchain. We have a huge following of people in the Luna blockchain, but we also want to onboard people that aren't aware of crypto in general, and, you know, let them know, hey, look, check out our art, check out other NFTs, you know, in the marketplace as well. And I think with Luart, I think people are going to be excited to join Luna, and with the rewards, I think it's going to be great for people. But as far as our roadmap, it doesn't stop at launch. It only begins there.
Yeah, that's great. And you're bringing NFTs in almost into this real world sense, where by burning NFTs, you're getting real world item. But I actually want to talk a little about the metaverse, right? I think that's a hot topic. You know, we have Luniverse coming out soon. Where do you guys feel that NFTs, I mean, obviously outside of being a character in the metaverse, what do you guys feel the roles of NFTs within the metaverse are going to evolve? And this is open for anyone.
Yeah, I think, you know, one perspective is NFTs allow you to show, you know, allegiance to a community. And as the metaverse grows and as NFT projects grows, I think, you know, it'll be so interesting to have, you know, different cities built around particular NFTs. And as, you know, there's more NFTs and as, you know, they develop even further and really get a bit more specific, I think you'll find NFTs that really align with people's values. And then, you know, experiences in the metaverse and entire, you know, cities even or places in the metaverse that really bring those aspects out of the community. So, yeah, I mean, imagine like a pixelated Galactic Punk city in the metaverse or, you know, a Hellcats area in the metaverse and you're with people in that community. And yeah, I think it's interesting. I've been listening to a lot of Balaji Srinivasan and his sort of thing around, you know, creating a community online and then, you know, bridging that into the real world and how that's a distinct possibility now in Web3 this century. So I think, yeah, it's interesting that NFTs, you know, give a sense of the values that a person has and the community that people belong to. And where, you know, we've already seen this with blockchains, like there are Luna maximalists and then there are ETH people and Solana people and, you know, Cardano people. And I think NFTs get a bit more specific, they're a bit more fun, and they help to onboard people into the Web3 sort of universe as well.
Interesting. I never looked at it from, you know, the values, what values people have and what they want to express or how they want to express themselves. But Jack, was that a little bit of an alpha there? Is there a Galactic Punk world coming up or we're just kind of dreaming here, daydreaming, so to speak?
Definitely daydreaming at the moment. Obviously, there's always possibilities to explore that. But I think from our point of view, it's the idea of how you can interact with your community in a different way using a metaverse. You've got a three-dimensional space where you can host events, you can create galleries, you could even host gallery tours. These are all exciting new things to just add that extra layer of community engagement, which we didn't have before. So, yeah, I feel like this is just going to change the way communities are built and how communities interact with one another.
And definitely in terms of interaction, you know, when it comes to being able to host, like, as you said, an event in a space and virtually attend, but, you know, let's just say you got some VR goggles on, it almost feels like you're there. I haven't had too much experience with reality, with virtual reality, but from everything that I've known so far, it's as if you're almost stepping into this primal aspect of the brain where you can now participate. And especially in times like this, unprecedented times where we have, you know, a pandemic and it's just like lockdown after lockdown, we're not going to get too deep into that aspect. But having this virtual world where people can go out, meet, basically interact with each other without any risks involved, I mean, I think that's great. Where do you guys feel as terms of Hellcats? Like, do you see yourselves as, you know, having these Hellcat events in there? Is there going to be something along that lines in the metaverse?
Yeah, we definitely see some scope for that to be brought into, because we've been speaking to Lunaverse and nothing is concrete just yet, obviously, and still sort of concept / planning. But one of our major parts of our community is the gaming aspect. So in our Discord, we've obviously been hosting poker games every day. I think we're up to about 73 or 74 days in a row. And that'll obviously be continued. And more recently, we have built an in-Discord casino where our community earn what's called fire tokens, just basic games, roulette, slot machine, and blackjack. So where we see that developing with Lunaverse is taking your Hellcat into, you know, potentially a Hellcat casino where we have acquired land. And the casino is obviously Hellcat themed, playing the casino games that we've already built in our Discord.
Right, the poker games have been a hit from my understanding. I can only imagine just sitting down at a virtual poker table and being able to, you know, just basically look at a Hellcat or a Galactic Punk and just play with it. Like, this is changing the way we're gonna be interacting with each other. So Jordan, tell me a little bit about, you know, your take on the metaverse and potentially where Luart's role is going to be within that.
I think that there's an interesting dynamic between like legacy video games and new video games getting spun up on the blockchain and metaverses getting built out in different worlds and whatnot. It was actually funny. There was a thread the other day where Kobe, who's, you know, really big Twitter influencer account and whatnot, and he opened a discussion about NFTs and gamers. He has a big touch with the gaming community because he streams on Twitch a lot, I guess. And this response was interesting. A lot of gamers didn't feel that they had this connection with NFTs, and they thought it would actually ruin their experience of just having fun. I think that it might just be an initial gut reaction to something like that. You know, gamers are a very unique community. And NFT holders and traders are also a unique community. I think that the use case is very smart for gamers. I mean, they get to have ownership of things like skins. Just for example, I used to play Warzone a lot on Call of Duty, and there was this one skin called the Rose skin that they ended up removing from the game to purchase because it was all black and it was very hard to see in shadows. I mean, you couldn't see players. So now just imagine if I was one of the 100,000 players left that still had this skin. Do you know how much people would pay, video game players would pay to get that skin so they could slightly improve their gameplay? So like use cases like this just automatically add value to a community that already exists. Now pushing them towards that, it might be a different conversation because we already have, you know, we do have gaming in the metaverse of native crypto users, but we also have gamers, which is a huge community that if we were able to pull over to the crypto world would really change the way, you know, we interact with video games on the blockchain. You know, we've already seen that most of these games have moved to this open world feel of you know, battle royale style where I'm able to interact with 100 players at once. And you know, Grand Theft Auto Online, they haven't made a game for 10 years and it's still a popular game because they're able to interact with, you know, hundreds of users all at once and swap in-game items. Now, what better use case is it to add that NFT aspect so there's ownership and you actually gain value to it? So it's a really simple use case that I think should be pushed forward. And where I see Luart, you know, early on, where we see Luart early on is being proprietors of this, of allowing, you know, these characters and skins and maybe attributes and pieces of land to live on the Luart marketplace so people are able to transact, also the gamification aspect. And we've always had this vision of being, you know, the corner of transactions for things in the metaverse. Now, how that plays out will transition with the way the market tells us to. But again, like at the core of Luart, we've always understood that this is where things are headed. And, you know, we really want to be a part of that. We'll allow the NFT projects to tell us which direction they need, and we'll help those things get built out. Just for example, early on, you know, there's a big issue in Terra where NFTs aren't able to be cross-chain completely yet. We saw our first dual mint with the Heroes, Soul, and Terra. And, you know, we spoke to them. Obviously, they're one of our premier secondary market partners, and they would like us to help them clean up their smart contract so the dual mint is a more smooth process. And we've talked to other protocols and other people in the community and the ecosystem of helping build the bridge for Ethereum to Terra so NFTs can live cross-chain. And, you know, at the heart of Terra, UST, cross-chain composability is really one of the biggest, you know, value adds, or I guess it's really just the core of the mission. And, you know, we want to live that too in the world of NFTs. Sorry if that was long-winded, but definitely a big concept.
So what are some of the challenges that LuArt has come across recently that, you know, like you said, with the dual mint, right? Cleaning up their contracts. Well, but outside of that, like what are some
systems aren't there yet. So, you know, there isn't a wormhole port for, you know, the ERC-721 tokens with Terra. So somebody has to build that out. And we've spoke to, we spoke to other engineers at other marketplaces. You know, people have had these conversations, but it hasn't been pushed yet. Maybe because the demand isn't necessarily there yet. But like I said previously, we want to be big proprietors of bridging communities from other ecosystems into Terra and vice versa. So that is going to be a big proponent. You know, we're obviously very backed up. Like our devs actually on break, we worked him to almost to death for over the last couple of months. So he needed a couple days off and, you know, we're back to it. But this is like, I think, an initiative that can be taken on by the entire ecosystem.
That sounds like an alpha. That sounds like a hint at something, that maybe something is coming, something big.
The conversations have happened. You know, we need to take it to the next step of actually starting to work on the system. And there has to be some demand. You know, maybe we're going to be, I can't say like if we are 100% going to be bridging over projects from other ecosystems yet. But, you know, we've had these conversations and just know that we're working on them.
Awesome. Awesome. Obviously, some of these challenges, you know, they can't be solved overnight. It takes a lot of thought power, manpower, collaboration, especially. You know, it's not just going to be one person or one team that's going to be able to come to and bring something to this. It's going to have to be collaboration between projects and TFL, as well as other protocols and other ecosystems, right? So in terms of the collaborations, I think you guys mentioned some earlier here. Where do you feel in terms of being able and collaborative in the Terra ecosystem, how it's very collaborative comparing to other chains where there might not be as much and it might be for a different incentive? Where do you guys feel the Terra ecosystem collaborates the most within when it comes to NFTs, if that makes sense? So
it definitely does. I think there are two things that drive collaboration. I think one is a shared set of values and all being essentially lunar maximalists. Like, so there's a reason we're all doing NFTs on Terra. A lot of people have experience using Terra for DeFi previous to launching NFT projects as well. So that's a huge driver in sort of being values aligned as a community and having something, you know, different on top of that. I mean, there are so many people on Ethereum, for example, that don't know what DeFi is, don't use ETH for anything other than their NFTs. So I think that's a key difference with Luna and with Terra. I think the second thing as well is the size of these communities and, you know, the relative size of Discords and Twitter followings and even the, you know, amount of NFTs in each project is, you know, of a size such that collaboration makes sense. It's easy to get wind of the projects that people want to see collaborations with. You know, for us, our community was really singing out for a Hellcats collaboration even before they minted, just because, you know, they've got quite an active community and really wanted to, you know, create unique things. So I think, you know, that's another aspect of, you know, why I'm so bullish on Terra NFTs. I think a lot of the collaboration that's happening and a lot of the things that projects are doing, whether it's, you know, Galactic Punk's validator or, you know, projects collaborating with other projects on Terra, it's pretty different to other blockchains. And so we're taking that, you know, to a certain level by doing that with AI. So making unique, you know, collaborations with the AI where, for example, we can create a scene with the Hellcats that community describes, or we can morph a Hellcat into something else, or we can take on a Luna Bull and create the city that it's from using AI. So those sorts of collaborations really come easily in Terra. And I think, you know, the future for collaboration as well is really exciting. And especially for us, as we're thinking through creating a game. So Verse AI, we just won a competition for that. So, you know, having projects come together in more ways is just something we're thinking about and that others are thinking about, no doubt, as well, including LuArt.
Awesome, awesome. And so let's say I have a Hellcat. Let's say I have a Galactic Punk. Let's say I have some Dystope AI artwork. Tell me, Silent Solo, if I want to mint a nice hoodie, how does that process look? If I want to take one of my NFTs and bring it to you and have that created, what can we do that in the first place? Is there room for that collaboration? And what would that look like?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry, you were breaking up.
I was saying let's just say I have, you know, an NFT from one of the guys up here, and I want you to go out there and print that on a hoodie or give me some nice kicks with it. What would that look like? What would a collaboration on that end look like for you?
That would definitely be possible. I actually have something coming up with a project. I think they'll be mentioning it soon, but I'm open for any collaborations with anybody, any projects, any protocols, and just people in general. So everything's possible. You just come. All you have to do is message me, and I can get to work on it. It's that easy,
right?
That easy.
That goes to show that the community aspect, the collaboration. Even if you guys out there listening have ideas that you want to come up to, it's really just about reaching out and potentially just sharing your thoughts and seeing where that can take you, right? Because I'm sure there are people here listening right now that have an amazing idea that they want to incorporate, that they want to evolve, but maybe they just don't have quite enough courage or they think that it's just the process is too long to do that. Well, in fact, I mean, that's how Star Terra started out. It started out with an idea where our CEO went to some of the community, the Luna community, and just discussed about what he thought would be a great idea for a launch pack. And it evolved from there. And I'm sure that there's projects now that are going to come from this, that people who are listening to this and are going, you know what, I have this amazing idea, but I don't know where to start. So reaching out to someone like Hellcats, Galactic Punks, Silent Solos, Dystope AI, this is the way that you could get some information, get experience without having to actually potentially, you know, go through some of the hardships, right? Like these people, these communities, they're called communities for a reason. So Jordan, how does your platform LuArt allow for people to go, just individual creators who maybe, you know, they don't have this whole roadmap planned out, how do you allow them to approach you to start their journey in the NFT world?
Well, I can tell you this, that, you know, we've gotten this feedback before from individual creators who want to come up with projects to launch their own. And we don't have like the systems in place yet, but it is on our roadmap to have, you know, the toolings for people to be able to create, you know, the projects that aren't going to have 5,000 mints or 10,000 mints, who just want to release their art. And serve as a, you know, LuArt would just be a platform for them to sell it. You know, that is coming as we, you know, get to V1 of our marketplace and our launch pad. So it is definitely in the roadmap.
And as having a DAO, the decentralized organization, which is also in your roadmap, is there going to be where, let's just say I have my mints, you know, I have my Star Terra collection in mind. I come to you and I'm like, all right, can we get this on your platform? How is that going to work with the DAO?
Well, I think it might, depending on which route we decide to go, the DAO in itself, obviously, there will be governance through the LuArt token. But we've been thinking about a system more like a Rarible, where you're able to, you know, the smart contract is there and you just have to enter in some query items to basically, you know, get the art up and running. I don't know if the tool is completely thought out yet, but I think that's something we would replicate because we've seen it work before. The DAO functioning in itself We will definitely allow proposals to come through for, you know, more building out more toolings on the protocol. Obviously, that might be a little bit more down the road because it takes some leadership and some people to get this you know, machine running smoothly first. So I would say that's where we're at with in terms of that.
Okay. All right. So it's going to depend on which route you take is essentially what you're going with.
Right. You know, we're going to let the community give us feedback already. You know, we'll talk to the people already reaching out to us about launching smaller products. Cause you know, we've already had a lot of people ask this question. So obviously it is needed. In terms of how we execute it, I don't think that is fully developed yet, but it is definitely in our roadmap.
Okay. Well, before we get into some AMA questions from the crowd, I know a couple of you have been raising your hand, requested to speak. Do you, any of you, and I have to ask this because I'm greedy, do you guys have any alpha for me? Or something that I can take away from this conversation, aside from the thoughtful and the knowledge that was expressed, any alphas that we can give our viewers here?
I kind of have one.
Let's hear it. I'm all ears.
There may or may not be a possibility to win a white gold halo chain, Angel Protocol.
Oh. Okay. All right. A white gold. So we're taking it up a notch. All right. I like it. But it's a possibility, right? So who knows? It may just disappear into my pocket if I give you enough Luna at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, you shouldn't have told us that one. I'm going to do that.
All right. Anyone else before we start?
Yeah, Solo, do we want to talk a little bit about our collab that we're doing soon?
Sure. Do it.
Sweet, man. Do you want to lead it or should I take the reins?
You got the floor, my man.
You spilled the beans, Taylor. Right, it's on you now.
All right. Well, we decided that we're going to do a little bit of a promotion with Hellcats and Solos, particularly around like the merch that he makes. So we're going to create some Air Force Ones featuring some Hellcats. And that will be done live on Twitch for all of our community to watch. And we're going to feature specifically someone's Hellcat that they're holding. So we're going to run a Twitter promo probably today. We might pop that out. So our community will be able to enter that way and get a pair that actually fits them.
The high schooler in me, the old head in me wants you guys to play Nelly's Air Force One song on this Twitch stream. Is that a possibility? Because I'll be rocking in my Air Force Ones.
I'm sure we can sort that out.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to go to the crowd here and take some questions. Unless, because I saw Dystope AI unmute themselves. Do we have any alphas coming from that side?
We do indeed. I can reveal that we're minting only 500 pieces, so pretty limited. Yeah, as well as the fact that holding, you know, between 1 to 3 pieces gives you different utilities, so different regular airdrops. And the other thing to mention as well, which we haven't mentioned anywhere, is that holding a Dystope AI token will give special utility for people that want to play Verse AI, so the NFT game that we're creating. Which is also AI driven. So things will include, you know, shaping the world and the way people battle in that game. So yeah, there's real utility holding the Dystope AI token.
That is exciting, 100%. I'll give you guys some alpha NFTs from StarTerra. We're going to be doing them very, very soon. I just can't wait to show you guys the trailer of it. But for the most part, we're also looking to collab with other projects in there, but that's as far as I'll get and spill here. We'll now join, we'll jump into the crowd, answer any questions for those who are potentially listening to this on Spotify because it cuts off at the 1 hour mark. We're sorry, next time at 10, but this first one goes out to Billy Goat. You have the floor. All you're gonna have to do is unmute. Oh, there you go. Do you have a question for the squad? Oh, come on.
Am I the question asker?
There we go. Yes, you
all
are.
Right. It cuts out. Twitter Spaces. Love it. Hi, thank you for all the alpha. Amazing. And also thank you for the Nelly Air Force Ones, because my daughter's named Nelly. He just like sparked joy in there. Hey. Oh, man. I have so many questions. I'm just going to start with my shill. I run a print-on-demand company in the meat space world. So let's collaborate on the NFT primitive for print on demands. Cause I've been talking to Kevin and everybody I can, Kevin from Angel Protocol, Galactic Punks team, about actually building a primitive for printing NFTs. That should happen. I will throw resources behind it for whoever wants to do that. So I'll throw that out there as my number one. Number two.
Collabs coming on the Star Terra AMAs. Love
all
it.
Right.
Love it.
Okay. So I think my main question, talk about a lot of shared values, and I think all the lunatics and people here have shared values, and there's a lot of this big vision, but I also run a startup. And one of the biggest parts of Web3 is like there's so much shit going on all the time. So we're talking about all these future vision, roadmap, stuff like that. And I think I want to just ask the team, like, what are the primary key values? And say it is like, what is the primary focus area? What is like the best possible 1 month from now, 6 months from now, 1 year from now look like for the LUART team?
Great question. Jordan, that's a tough one.
You said the LUART team, correct? It kind of broke up.
I did say the LUART team, but I'm that to Jack. But no, for everyone, but this is a LUART specific. I guess you have to answer first.
Yeah. Okay. So I think at the core of LUART, we've always put community first. And when you're on the Terra ecosystem relative to the other ecosystems, I think there's something really special in the lunatic community, being that they're never afraid to share feedback, but when you do respond well to that feedback, they join you, they push you like no other. Like, they really figure out ways to get the message out there that this is a good product that we want to use. So we've taken that from the beginning of LUART and just continue to build off of that vision. We took a risk in launching our token after we launched the product, because say our launch pad with our first mint and launch with Hellcats didn't go well, then what would have been the reaction from the community? We wouldn't have had a record-breaking sale or raise on Star Terra's IDO. It could have been very detrimental to the success of LUART long term. But we really believed in our team after coming to the community and figuring out how we could best present a good product. We saw the issues on other marketplaces, faulty mints, lack of support with the projects and marketing. And so what I would say is, what you can see from us in the next month, we're coming out with a new iteration of our marketplace. There are going to be some fixes. There are going to be some new features. Some of the fixes have come directly from, what the community saw, whether it was the filtration system, some issues with the price feed. We take all that feedback, we respond to the team, and we make it happen, because, at the end of the day, we're here to service the community, and without the community, we are nothing. So as long as we continue to hit our goals, but we remain flexible to what the community is telling us we need, I think that you're going to see, a large amount of growth from LUART and our partners that we're working with, because at the core of all of this really is the community. As far as what's coming in a month, again, there's going to be a V1 version, 1.1 version of our marketplace. We actually have an article up that we published the last week of December that can give you an idea of what to expect in the next month and a half or so. So that's what I would say. Does that answer your question?
It was a great answer. Especially the end, because it kind of put down focus. And I'm not by any means trying to be negative Nancy here. I just, what I was really asking is what the Luart team cares the most about, which is community, but community can also be like riding, you know, grabbing the tail of a dragon, which side note on PDE, like Lavana partnership. Like if users listen to the feedback, you can get spread in a billion different directions. And that is like literally the definition of Web3 is like, there's so much shit going on. How many Discord notifications does everybody have in right now? Like it's infinity. And I think the point of my question, and you kind of answered it right at the end there, is like, what is the primary focus for Luart? And the follow-up question is how can we help that? So yes, you answered my question. And I also want to give you credit for working with the Galactic Punks team, doing these launches, doing the IDOs on two chains, like with X-Rune was awesome, especially because for some reason I had a KYC, couldn't do it from the US in StarTerra. So great work on that. I think you guys are absolutely killing it, and I'm here to support. But I would just say focus is super important, and kind of rallying people behind like a singular mission is a valuable asset.
Just right. Before Jordan touches here, I just want to say, as much as everyone likes to have the community involved, only Luart really knows what their roadmap is, and they're going to make the adjustments that are according to their roadmap, right? So same thing with StarTerra, same thing with Hellcats. There's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes that no one really knows about. And as much as you have to take the community into consideration, there's always going to be things that you know you're not going to be able to do, or you're going to have to do differently because of the direction you want to head it, right? But go ahead, Jordan.
So well said. And it's like exactly what I was trying to ask is like, what's that primary focus? Because when you say that, then people can rally around and help y'all get there.
Right. I mean, at the core of Luart, our idea was building a gamified marketplace. So obviously we have to continue to push that goal forward and then take the community feedback. But the idea had to be accepted by the community at the beginning anyways. You know, we had this idea. We saw, you know, our founder saw this gap between utility and the marketplace and the community itself. So that was his solution. The community responded that, yes, this is likely, seems like a good idea, right? But then we got to execute on the simple things first. You know, we're executing on our MVP products of the launch pad and the marketplace. You know, if those don't work, everything else goes out the window. And we're still on this roadmap, like, of reaching this gamification model integrated within Luart, and that goes without saying, you know, that is not changing. Obviously, you know, we're going to stick to that. With the feedback, you know, from the community, we obviously take that into consideration, but you know, we're still moving along this path of where we see ourselves in the future being connected to the metaverse, etc. So it's definitely a great question.
Just to expand on that a little bit, I believe it is slightly different for protocols and NFT projects as to how they need to listen and reflect on what the community says. It's all well and good having a strong roadmap, but that roadmap can only be as strong as the community that are going to be using the platform. And same with NFT holders. So at Galactic Punks, obviously, we have our internal roadmap, which we've kept relatively quiet. Obviously, with the announcement of our Galactic Grids, which is launching end of the month. But all of these different events and different routes that we've been taking recently, these have come from the community and from the DAO. And these would have been impossible without their input and their time that they've put into coming up with these ideas, such as the validator that came from the community. Our collaboration with Solana Monkey Business, but that came from them as well. And without listening to the community and taking on board what they have to say, it's nearly impossible to create amazing spaces and amazing things. Obviously, it is slightly different for a protocol, as there's only so much a community can say in terms of making a protocol work and being effective. But for NFT projects, I'd highly recommend that listening to your community is or should be at the forefront of your roadmap.
Yeah, and that being said, in terms of the Web3 space in general, right, I think the community plays a much larger role than in any, you know, real world corporation that we're talking about. Well, I'm saying real world, I apologize, but like the stuff that we see that goes on in today in other corporations, not many people have really a say of which direction to go. And as much as they do surveys and as much as they do product testing and split testing, you can only go so far. But when you have an engaged community who are your end users, who have been there from the beginning, who have been there since before mints, who have been there before the tokens, and you're listening to them and you're taking feedback, you're guiding yourself to success. So the protocols that come with a community first perspective have an advantage because they're not just going out there and thinking this is going to work. Let's just, you know, we're 100% sure it's going to work because our team says so. But when you have that feedback and you take that feedback from the community, I think that really allows you to grow as a project and as an ecosystem. So the Terra ecosystem has been massively successful, I believe, because of the community. There have been senior and share protocols on Ethereum, you know, for a while now, but they haven't had success. Whether you can say that's the gas fees or something else, it just hasn't had that same success that you look at Terra, where you have diehard people that are in it from, you know, in the beginning, from the middle, who are just joining now, but are really learning to look to the other members and engage from that aspect, that allows us to be able to expand. So I really appreciate that question. And if either of the other protocols here wants to touch on it, the floor is yours. Otherwise, I got a great question too.
I'll just briefly expand on that as well. And we're of the exact same opinion as the other projects in terms of being community driven, community focused. It's been one of our main pillars from the absolute get-go, and most recently, like, we've got a channel in our Discord called Hustler Cats, and, you know, we've spoken about partnerships with other projects and, you know, cross collaborations, but we're also reaching out to the community members and seeking out talents that some of these members may have but just don't know how to get into the space. I feel like there's quite a large number of people who want to fully immerse themselves into the ecosystem but just don't know how or don't know what the first step is. So we've sort of extended the olive branch to suggest that we are open to, you know, people who may be good at graphic design or front-end dev stuff, so that type of stuff, and help Hellcats grow. And just on top of that as well, like, I'll give you another recent example. One of the community members suggested that we should have exclusive poker games to Hellcat visor hat holders. So now we run a poker game specific just for holders of the poker visor hats. So we're always open to the community suggestion. There's, you know, a couple of thousand people in there, and there's some brains in there that we can definitely tap into and continue to make not just our protocol or project, you know, continue to succeed, but, you know, help the larger community as well.
Awesome, awesome. And with Silent Solos is having a little bit of technical issue with his hardware in terms of the microphone, so we're not going to be able to get his opinion on this subject. I have a question in terms of the community. What is the most hated question you receive as a project, as a protocol? What do you guys hate the most?
Maybe not hate is the right word, but it is quite hilarious when you say, like, you know, we're working on X. And then until you release X, it's just W-E-N, when.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Definitely. So we're working on second. You know, things don't happen overnight. We're working. It's quite funny when you get that stuff.
Yeah, there's been some scaling issues in terms of our own NFTs, and it's something that we look to launch very, very soon. So I know we've been getting that question a lot. Jordan just seconded that. How about Dystope AI? Do you have any questions that maybe not so much hate, but it's just like, oh, there it is again?
Not too many questions I hate. I think, you know, we'll often post about what it takes to get on the whitelist. You know, it's not like grindy, like some discords or like invite competitions, but we do get a lot of when whitelist, sir, can you put me on the whitelist? Please, sir, whitelist. So that can get a bit tiring, I guess is the right word, but definitely not annoying. I don't hate it. A lot of keen beans out there.
Sir, can Starter get on the whitelist?
Absolutely,
joking,
sir.
Joking.
Roll in, roll through.
What about you, Jack? How about you from the Galactic Punk side?
I think the most repetitive question we get is when mint, and it gets very old very, very quickly, especially when you're providing all the information for everyone to see on your website or on your Discord, etc. So I think that's probably the question that we get the most.
And you know, as much as we're teasing here, guys, it's obvious people are excited. When you get those types of questions, it means there's interest. It means that there's something people are really looking forward to. So I think that's just a quality problem. Obviously, if you're not getting questions when, whatever it may be, it means that people aren't really paying attention. So is there anything for Silent Solos that you guys find is just getting repetitive that you want to maybe either clear the air here for anyone, or just hoping that one day once that mint comes that it's going to be the last time you hear that?
I think the biggest one is when whitelist. But our whitelist is very simple. All you have to do is join our Discord and submit to it. And as long as the link is up, you're still able to join the whitelist. So it's kind of funny because they go, when's whitelist? And I just send them the channel and that's that. But it's not annoying. It just gets, I mean, it's kind of old, but it gets funny every time.
Yeah.
Well, I can answer the question of when token for us now. Well, I should say when IDO. I shouldn't say when token. we get that question all the time. Well, now is your chance. You know, the reason why we're all here. You know, we have an IDO still ongoing with Star Terra. You know, I think there's what is there, like 15,
half a day,
16 hours, half a day, yeah, to participate. So to get a chance, so go ahead and you know, stake that STT and get a chance to be a participant in the IDO.
Yeah, getting on the ground floor before that Luar astronauts goes into space, right? you want to be able to make sure that you never have to ask, okay, what's going on with price, because you got a good price, right? So financial advice, by the way. So yeah, don't everyone take that here. Not financial advice, but yeah. On top of, yeah, we've gone a little bit over here, so I don't want to hold you guys too long. Is there anything that any of you guys want to just let the Star Terra or anyone else out there listening about? Like anything that the important date, anything that you're excited about, any updates, now's the chance.
Well, I don't know if we officially said it in the AMA. I know Dystope AI mentioned it, but the secret's out that they will be minting with us. They will be one of our official minting partners. So really excited for that. Really excited to work with them. And I really think they have a different project and idea in mind with great art. So excited to see, you know, what comes out of it.
I'm going to be using my Lua power to try to get those Luar boxes. Get myself a Dystope AI, a Hellcat, even a Galactic Punk, or we'll get to work with Silent Solo. But hey, guys, any kind of key update, any key dates that you guys want to mention?
Yeah, like we're also keen about those Luar boxes, hoping to get something rare with my Lua power. Absolutely. We're just thrilled to be working with Luart. We think what they're doing is incredible in the space and really different. We'll be minting in 2 weeks, so till then, make sure you join our Discord, where we'll be opening up the whitelist. You can ask when whitelist there. But then also running cool competitions where you'll be able to test out the AI on your own NFTs and morph them. So head to our Discord where you can keep up to date and follow us on Twitter. But yeah, thanks so much for having us on.
Appreciate you. Galactic, Jack.
Yeah, I'd just like to add that working with Blue Art over the last month has been an absolutely amazing experience. I don't think I've ever spoken with a team that's had such great customer service. And this is a massive shout out to Aston, who is absolutely amazing. And I'm sure anyone who's dealt with him will agree with me that he is a absolute god gift to the Luart team. So yeah, we really appreciate everything he's done for us. And we're looking forward to supporting Luart in any way we can over the next couple of months and into the future.
Yeah, Jordan, forget you. Aston, key guy. No, joking aside, actually, the Luart team, I will give also hats off to you guys. You guys have pushed Star Terra to look at it from a different perspective. So definitely we feel that working with you guys has evolved us as a team. So we'll leave the floor open for Hellcats and Silent Solos. Any key dates? Any key updates?
I don't have anything further to add. We've got AMA in our Discord scheduled Sunday night for people who are in Australia, so UTC in the morning for Sunday. That will go over a few more in-depth stuff about the weeks ahead for Hellcats and Hellcat owners as well.
Yeah, have a nice Sunday, maybe hangover time, maybe a little bit of nightcap, join the Hellcats AMA in their channels. And last but not least, Silent Solo.
We are hoping to launch by the end of this month. I'm just waiting to confirm dates.
But if you want to get on that whitelist, join their Discord. Go join that now. Go click on his profile, find out where that Discord is, and get on that whitelist. I know that's what I'm going to do as soon as we get off on this call. Once again, I want to thank you all for joining me, whether it's the Luart team, Silent Solos, Hellcats, we have Galactic Punch, Dystope AI, and all of you who have been out there listening. Thank you for the questions from Billy Go. It doesn't seem like anyone else wanted to jump in and take the floor. So we are going to end this here. Let you guys enjoy your Friday, whether it's night or for some of you in Australia, probably going to be early morning. But thank you all. Take care.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a Luart and Friends AMA hosted by Star Terra, recorded on Friday, January 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates their support. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody want to rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Can't even say they're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointing too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music. Spaces.